Welcome to the Real Estate Pros Podcast, the weekly show for real people in the business of residential sales and property management. Ready to talk insights and inspiration with today's guest, here's your host, Josh Cobb.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the first ever episode of the Real Estate Pros Podcast. This is the weekly show for real people in the business of residential sales and property management. As the announcer kindly said, my name is Josh Cobb, and I'm excited about today's show and welcoming our first guest ever. I'll be joined by Sarah Bell, a director at Brad Bell Real Estate. Sarah is going to share with us her background in real estate sales, how they have aligned their sales and property management departments to achieve some outstanding results, and will even tell us about the reasons behind building a coffee shop in the side of their real estate agency. I've also got an exciting discovery I'd like to share with you before we speak with Sarah, so let's do that right now.
Today's show is brought to you by Real Estate Dynamics, the industry leaders in property management training, consulting, and rent roll and agency brokerage. Find them at realestatedynamics.com.au.
So this being our first podcast, I'd like to just give you some background on this first segment of the podcast being our discovery of the week. And each week I'd like to just give you a discovery that I've found, whether it be a technology, resource, software, something to help you stand out from your competitors and hopefully run a better business. So the first discovery I'd like to introduce you to is called Tracker Bravo. And it's a neat little device I discovered over at the Inman Conference in San Francisco, which is a technology conference for real estate in the United States. And it's a cool little device that you can attach to things like your car keys, your handbags, and all sorts of different items. And if those items go missing, you can then track that device using an app on your smartphone. Now, you would have seen those sorts of things around before, but Tracker Bravo is something a little bit different, I think. And what you can do with this device is if your phone goes missing, you can then press the device and it will ring your phone. So you can locate your phone if it's in close proximity, but you just can't find it. This is a cool little thing that you can, it'll ring your phone so you can locate it. The other thing you can do is have your company logo and branding engraved on the device. So they're a great gift idea for anyone that's purchasing a property through your agency. And of course, if you're handing out keys to tradespeople in your property management department, we all know keys can go missing that way sometimes. So it's a great idea to put those and have them engraved with your company logo, attach them to keys that you're handing out so that they don't go missing, or you can locate them later. It was a crowdfunding company, which means it put its idea up online and asked for people to contribute to the company if they thought it was a good idea. They wanted to raise $20,000. The company has now raised over $1 million through that process. So it's super popular, and I invite you to all have a look at it. You can find it at www.thetracker.com. It's spelt T-R-A-C-K-R.com, so the tracker. You can buy them in bulk. I think you can get them for around $150 US for a pack of 10. I bought 10 myself. I think they're a great idea, and I think they would really give you a point of difference in your agency. So check it out. And we'll have the link to that resource in the show notes from today's show on our website. And with that, let's transition into our first interview. I'm excited to introduce today's guest, Sarah Bell from Brad Bell Real Estate in Brisbane. Sarah is responsible for the corporate and strategic leadership at Brad Bell Real Estate. With a background in law and behavioural science, as well as having worked in sales and property management, Sarah is a dedicated professional who is passionate about developing and maintaining the highest standards of real estate products and service for their clients and their team. Sarah, I've given our listeners just a brief overview, but take a minute, tell us a little bit about you personally, and then give us an overview of your business.
Sure. Thanks, Josh. Look, I always say that I'm married into the real estate industry rather than, I guess, having it as a lifelong goal. My background is my work background. I previously worked as an investigator, and so I've got a strong an analytical background. I met my husband, James Bell, who is the son of Brad Bell, and in 2006, and by 2008, they had managed to convince me to come and join not only the family but the family business. And I guess with my focus on method and breaking down processes and looking for efficiencies and that sort of thing, I saw a whole lot of opportunity to not only improve our business but improve the way things are done. Mm. That keeps me pretty busy. But outside of the office, I'm a busy mum to three girls. And I haven't got a whole lot of hobbies, but I am a shameless diehard rugby union fan. I like stand-up paddleboarding, which is a bit cool, but otherwise basically an unabashed nerd, and I'll read anything.
Not only do you guys have a fantastic property management department, but your sales department, I understand, are doing quite well. I recently read an article that you did with Lee Woodward where you talked about tearing down the proverbial walls between sales and property management. Traditionally, property management, you know, it was that department in the corner, wasn't it, that wasn't given that much attention. But in recent years, business owners have started to pay really close attention to this area of the business as they start to understand the asset value that it can provide to them. Can you explain your focus on both sales and property management, how they're intertwined in the business and why you made sure it was done that way?
Look, I think when you're a principal or a business owner in charge of both the departments, it makes sense to understand the contribution that each department makes, and understanding it is about understanding how they, it's a different contribution. So you can look at the cash injection that your sales department's going to make, you know, with their 30-day settlements and the large, I guess, volume of cash that comes in per settlement, and how that works. And that's great if you're looking for cash. But if you understand, I guess, then the lifetime customer value and the asset customer value of your property management department, then suddenly you realize that if you're playing both your long game and your short game well, then not only are you giving yourself a consistent cash basis through your property management department, and your sales department then becomes sort of, I guess, a bonus cash injection, but you're putting yourself in a good position of parity where your property management department can cover all your costs and things like that. So it's an excellent foundation to have in your business. Given that level of freedom and asset value and just value within your business, I don't know why the industry took so long to realize how important it was, and that the GFC or any recession really should have been a great, you know, a great rocket. And I think it has been for principals to realize that. But what's also bizarre about those silo models of having them operate really, really differently or in ways nearly against each other is that your clients are looking for a solution to property. And if everyone in your business can speak intelligently about the sales market and about the rental market, and so if your property managers can speak intelligently about an investor's exit strategy, if your salespeople can speak intelligently about a rental return and why a particular property would suit an investment portfolio, then everyone's in a position to provide a superior service. Everyone's in a position to help customers more, and no one's going to fall between the gap of that divide. If we make a conscious effort to recycle people through the departments of our business, then we're really giving them an end-to-end solution for everything they need in property. And not only are people enjoying that value that we're being able to give to them, they're also really experiencing the value from a cash perspective as well.
Do the property managers train with the sales staff? Do you hold sessions in-house where everyone gets together? And if you do, what sort of information is shared, and what conversations happen in those groups?
A lot of that starts from a culture of everyone being interested in what the other department's doing. So we have, look, as far as communication about what's going on in each department, we have these touchpoint emails. So if a property is listed, it goes for sale, it goes to everyone. If a rental property is listed, it goes to everyone. And so staff have the opportunity to be tapped in to either department. And look, our office is actually physically separate. We have within the same shopping centre, we have a separate property management office and a separate sales office. And so it isn't about a physical proximity thing. It's actually, it comes from a cultural thing. Part of that might be that my husband is probably the lead sales agent in our business, and I have been custodian of the property management department for a while. And so I think from a leadership perspective, both offices have been very intertwined. But the property management team really get on board when the sales team are having events. They'll show up and assist at auctions and things in their own free time on a Saturday because they're invited, because they're involved, and because they're engaged in the business. And similarly, the salespeople have no problem referring investor clients and buyers and new owners through to the property management department because they know our processes. They know that those clients are going to be taken care of. And salespeople are very precious with their clients. They need to know and get that feedback from the property management department that they're being taken care of properly and that the property management department will service match. I've had clients that have bought properties from other agencies and the agents that they've bought from have recommended other competing property management departments to where they work. And I just think that's the most awful situation. There's a lot of business falling down when that happens.
Well, it's not uncommon. I mean, I'm sure there's a lot of our listeners would have been in a situation where that has happened in their local marketplace, where a sales business or a traditional real estate business has got a sales department and a property management department, but haven't always referred leads onto their own property management department. So in all of this work that you've done in putting this culture and the amount of work, and I know how much work you guys have put into that, what have been the results? So in terms of not just in terms of cash flow and profit, but also from a staff retention point of view, a client retention point of view with property management, what's been the outcome from all of that?
What's actually key to our structure is that the BDMs who take care of those leads and nurture those leads, they sort of straddle both departments and they go to both department meetings and they're really key in communication between the two departments of what's going on. So that's a really important conduit of communication. That's also where the business comes in to the property management department. And look, since I would say that in 2010, we made a really concerted effort to tighten up those structures and fix that traditional notion of the property managers having the rubbish printer when the sales office have finished with equipment, then the property management department inherit it, even though it's a bit busted and a bit dodgy. No, the property management team have the resources that they need to execute their job, not only effectively, but at the same level of service that the salespeople do. And so they're engaged and they're empowered to be professionals to the same standard that the sales department are. What that's done since 2010 is we've doubled our rent roll. We've actually more than doubled. We've probably doubled and a half. So the goal is to triple it. In fact, we have a strategic plan in place, so the goal is to triple it. We've just taken on some more office space, so we've gone from having two offices to now three offices, one being sales, one being property management, and one devoted entirely to the client and customer experience. And so that's shared by both departments. So it's really a whole vision and a whole movement towards making sure that everyone's working towards the same goal. The mission of our business and the vision we have for our business and our values are communicated, and I think demonstrated from not only James and I as leaders in the business, but from the more senior staff as well. And I think people joining our business see that buy-in and they jump in with that vision, and the benefit of that is extraordinary. You really can enjoy together achieving things as a team. As a business owner, you enjoy the stability of a team. Our property management team is a tight-knit group, and they work together, the likes of which I probably haven't seen in many industries. And this is this is an industry that has a huge problem with turnover. But it's actually quite inspiring to see these girls and how much they've got each other's backs. And we have weekly meetings where we talk about capacity. And, one girl that takes care of her routine inspections, she's got capacity to help the leasing consultant who might be under the pump with higher vacancies that week. You'll see people volunteering to do someone else's job. Oh, I've got some time this week. I can do that entry report for you. And and that's inspiring to see teamwork in action. And you compare that to, that phrase that I hate, that's not my job. I hate that phrase, and there's no place for it in a team and there's no place for it in a small business. So as well as the growth in the numbers and the acquisition of space and everything, I think what's amazing is the retention and the strength of the team that we have and how that filters to the retention and the strength of our client base that we have. We've had, you know, issues with competitors, direct marketing to our clients and things like that. And they've all turned little advocates. We, you know, they send us in letters now. We've educated them about, you know, direct mailing and told them if there's a problem, don't change, come to us so we can fix it. And it's great. We have clients coming in the office saying, I got this from that crew down the road and, you know, how did they get my address? And I don't want to hear from them. And I tell them I'm really happy with Brad Bell. And that's so inspiring when you've got people in out there in the marketplace not only being loyal but taking it a step further and advocating your services.
Look, I've been into your office, Sarah. I know that you can't help but feel that what you're saying is 100% spot on, and the feeling that you get, the vibe. So the vibe around the office is you can't help but be infected by it. And an interesting story that some people may have seen in some of the online magazines is you recently built a coffee shop, not a coffee machine in the reception area like some offices have, but a physical, fully fledged coffee shop in the side of your sales office. Yeah. And can you explain the thinking behind this initiative and what this has done for the business?
Sure. Look, there were lots of reasons to do it. I guess from a selfish commercial perspective, working in our shopping centre for 7 years, I started to think to myself, if I had a dollar for every time someone asked me where I could get a cup of coffee. And then I started thinking seriously, what if I did have a dollar for every time someone asked me where I could get a cup of coffee? So I guess we had confidence that it was going to work as an independent venture anyway. But the idea of it was that given that there was a need for it in our shopping centre, if we could put that there, it would be bringing a lot of people who may not be aware of our business to our doorstep every day, who could see our team in action. And, you know, with real estate, you've got that never-ending paradigm of how are you relevant at that time when someone wants to sell. And there's a few ways to address that problem. If someone wants to sell, if someone wants to find a property manager, there's a few ways to address that problem. You can blanket them with marketing. You can, you know, put billboards up everywhere and you know, and we do that. We've got bus shelters and letterbox drops and things like that. But if someone comes to you, makes it a habit to come to your doorstep every morning for their morning coffee, and look, our sales agents are out there more than they're at their desks now. It's it's such an amazing opportunity for them to talk to people who live locally. I think it's a genius motive. If we're selling 150 cups of coffee a day, there's 150 people who live and work locally coming to our business, coming to our doorstep. And the question,
I know that you named the coffee shop after you had an online community by the same name. For our listeners, help them understand what the name of the business is, and I guess the strategy around the online community and how that relates.
Sure. Well, look, our office, our company and the Bell family has been so involved in community activities since 1979 and the 10 years when Brad worked in real estate before that. You know, every fate, every the Mount Gravatt show, there's so many every soccer clubs and things like that. There's so many things that go on that we're so proud to be a part of, because it's a great community because those projects and those initiatives exist. So it is a real privilege to be invited to be involved in that. And so we wanted to, I guess, find a way to communicate to everyone in that area, everyone in our postcode, our geography, all of the great things that are going on. I've seen that done really badly by real estate offices before, where they attempt to own the community, and I think it never works because it's a thinly veiled attempt for a real estate agency to infiltrate, to look for leads, and that's really not what it was about from our perspective. It was important to us to, I guess, let those projects shine, and so we haven't called it Brad Bell's local page or, you know, your local real estate person bringing you this thing. We've actually stepped right back from a position of ownership and given the ownership to the community. So we have lots of local businesses and organisations contributing content, contributing blogs about what's going on in the local area. It's been a great way for people to plug in online. That's where people hang out, because that's where people have time to hang out these days, I think. And so by building the coffee shop and naming it after the online blog, it gives people, I guess, a local place to be offline and have that environment as well. So there's a big notice board at the coffee shop with information about the show and the upcoming fete. And we recently had a fundraiser through the coffee shop with the local Rotary Club and the Lions Club, and the Girl Guides needed some new steps at their hut. So the hubbers, which is what we call our coffee customers, all got together and we raised the money for the materials to be purchased. And I think the men's shed are actually going to build the stairs. So that project wouldn't have happened if there wasn't a place for everyone to connect. So it's just one example of where that project's going with connecting everyone together in the coffee shop. Being offline and the blog being online, it just puts everything in line. And I know I've said that before, your offline marketing has to be in line with online. But I think having that sort of alignment gives you credibility.
Give us a bit of an idea of, I guess, the amount of traffic or the amount of, I guess, subscribers, if you would, to the online blog, people that are accessing the page, how many subscribers there would be roughly, and then how many people you'd get to the coffee shop each day.
Well, our Facebook page has got just under 200 likes at the moment. They're 200 really good likes. We know that they live locally, and the engagement level that we have is probably something I focus on more than actual numbers of likes. So if I had 4,000 people that liked us but they all lived in Dubai, then the project hasn't been a success. But what we've got is a loyal group that that do live locally and are engaged with local businesses. And we know already from the feedback from the organisations and the businesses that have been involved, and some have been involved informally and some more formally, we know that there's a lot of traffic happening offline as well. So certainly that's been successful to move the message around. But we know as well that there's around 150 people coming to the coffee shop every day, you know, and they're looking at the things offline and also engaging with the girls at the coffee shop. And it sounds, you know, it sounds silly that your barista is nearly like your modern day priest. That's your person that you go to. And I think some of them should be getting like a therapy tax on their coffee as well, because, and the girls, they know everyone's name, they know where the kids go to school. And, you know, it's really great to have that, you know, that cheers mentality at the coffee shop as well, you know, the bar where everyone knows your name. Part of that is, you know, service matching our values and everything that we have in the real estate, but having that there at our doorstep has been a really good thing for our business.
No, I think it's a super great example of, you know, not that marketing head-on analogy. You're not blanket marketing anyone. It's bringing people to the business by attraction and marketing sideways. I think it's super smart. We often hear the 20,000 foot analogies of how someone has succeeded in their real estate business, but here on this podcast, we want to take it down to that ground level, to the actual moments in time throughout the life cycle of your business where you felt like you were either struggling or succeeding. There'll be lots of principals listening today who haven't quite found that balance between sales and property management. And I know how strong your focus is on getting the right culture across the whole of business. So with that in mind, can you take us to an exact moment, or were there multiple moments when you were struggling to get it right? Pick out one story that sits in your mind and tell us what was going through your mind at the time and what you guys did to break through that moment.
I used to quit all the time. If you talk to my husband, he will tell you the amount of times I have given him my resignation. While we were in this building process, there have been times when it just all seemed too hard. And I look back now and you're right, you do hear these stories about the multi-million dollar agent, and, you know, that's so remarkable that those people have achieved that. But for me, I'm more interested in capturing the how and looking at how you're going to replicate that. I say all the time, I'd rather have 10 agents earning $100,000 than one agent earning $1 million, because I'm more interested in an organizational maturity. And if we look at the process that we've been through as an office, it has been about maturing the organization and training and skilling up everyone in line with that maturity and in line, which is in line with our vision. Pushing through that ceiling, you know, you start off in that business and you might know that there's that one person in your office that holds everything together, the hero, your superstar, and whether that's your sales agent who's a superstar that, you know, lets you make your bills every week, every month, or whether that's your, you know, your property manager who's been there for 100 years, who knows everyone. That that heroic effort by an individual is that it's heroic, but it's not sustainable, and it's very, very difficult to replicate whatever's gone on in them that makes them that committed. You may not get that in everyone, and it may not last, and it probably won't last because it's extraordinary and unsustainable. And so then we've moved to the next step of going, right, how do we get those heroes out of having to be quite so dedicated, and we'll get them into a system or a structure where the burden's shared a bit. Mm. And so you start building your basic processes, and, you know, we joined up with Real Estate Dynamics in our property management department and started using their systems, and you get some notion and some understanding of what you're doing that is successful and what you're doing that is not successful, and you get the opportunity to build on that. Once you have those basic processes locked down, then you can push to the next level, and that is a hard push.
So let's take it to the other end of the spectrum. And is there anything in particular, or you've described a couple of them, that you felt reassurance that you had the right mix? Pick out one story that sits in your mind and really take us there with you, so we can understand what it was like when you reached that milestone and you thought, okay, we're really on the right path here.
Look, I heard one the other day, Josh, and we'd formerly managed a property that was sold by a competing agent, and then they retained the management with the new buyers. The tenant of that property was also a landlord, and he became a tenant of that property as a result of us selling his principal place of residence. So we had then someone now dealing with one of our competitors who had been through our office as a buyer, as a seller, as a tenant, and as a landlord. So
Wow. This
guy knew us, knew what we were about, and he was dealing with our competitors, and he said, oh, well, look, when I was with Brad Bell, they did it this way. And he came back and told us that then the competitor, who doesn't know us, hasn't been in the industry for very long, doesn't know our family or anything like that, had proceeded to bag us out horrifically. And he made a point of coming into the office to tell us. And then I told her that I've been through every process at Brad Bell. I know everyone down there, and they're so good. And, you know, he was a bit more colourful than that, to be fair. But he was no longer our tenant. We had sold his property in the past. He made a point of coming down to our office because he was so upset that there was someone in the marketplace that wasn't aware of us, saying bad things about us. And, you know, these things roll off our back. But the notion that someone had been that loyal to set someone straight and then come down and tell us about it sort of let me know that what we're doing from a service perspective, what we're doing for our notion of having customers for life, that is working. You know, Brad had the motto 1979 that you'll love the way we do business, and that's the goal. That's the goal. We want people to like us, and we want people to like us because we deliver an excellent service and we're helpful and we're friendly.
I don't think you can ask for a better testimonial than that. I think and the hardest thing, you know, we spend so much time in business, don't we, on thinking how can we generate more leads? How can we create more awareness of the brand and that sort of thing? And the three biggest challenges every person working in real estate faces, Sarah, when marketing their services is either creating awareness of their brand, generating leads, or increasing loyalty and advocacy, which you guys have done exceptionally well, especially on that third point. Can you give our listeners an overview of your marketing strategies, the technologies and philosophies behind how you guys solve those three challenges?
Well, I might start with the philosophies, because I guess everything, what we do is grounded in a belief that if we help people, they're going to pay us back with their loyalty and their business. So I guess if you put yourself in the position of a consumer, we've taken the position that it's quite arrogant to think that real estate consumers are going to behave any differently than people making any other complex purchase. You know, if I was going to buy a car tomorrow, and we actually did this exercise with our sales team, if I was going to buy a car tomorrow, I would actually do all my research online. I would find out which car I wanted to buy, how much it was worth, what the trade on my car might be, and I would probably arm myself with quite a lot of information. While I was going through that information, I would be likely to make more inquiries with someone that was helpful, because you do business with people you know or people you want to know.
Well, Sarah, thanks so much for your input so far. I know that everyone's going to really resonate with what you're saying. I think you've taken it down to that sort of grand level that people can relate to. We're about to hit the fast five, where I'm going to ask you 5 quick questions and get you to come back with a couple of quick answers. But before we do, let's hear our fast fact of the week. Each week in this segment of the show, I'll bring you an interesting fast fact. And this week it comes from the 2014 Image of Trusted Professions conducted by Roy Morgan Research. It's a survey they conduct each year where they ask tens of thousands of Australians about who they perceive to be the most trustworthy profession. And what they found this year was that real estate agents were 28th out of 30, falling 3% from the previous year. People in the medical industry took out top honours, followed closely by our High Court judges. It's a frightening statistic for people in real estate, so what do you think it comes down to? I'm keen to hear your thoughts. Drop us a line via our website, Facebook or Twitter. Sarah, we've reached one of my favourite parts of the show where we ask you 5 fast questions to get you to fire back some quick answers. Are you ready?
Yes.
Okay, so name one person who has been an inspiration to you throughout your career and why.
I'm going to name 2 people, but they're both related to me. I know I could pick some hero with a massive profile nationally and everything, but I'm not. I'm going to say my father-in-law, Brad Bell, who's passed now, because that was a man that walked the talk and talked the walk for 40 years in the industry and made such an impact and such a contribution and such a quiet contribution to the industry. And we were talking about it earlier this morning. I feel so privileged that I was able to learn my craft from him. And the other person I'm going to say is my husband, James Bell, because I live with him. No, but because I've seen him give so much to his community, give so much to his team, and give so much to his business as well. And he's such an equipoised business person that we talk about the ups and the downs of real estate. And, you know, we've seen quite a few markets together, and he's kept a level head and just had a quiet consistency and calmness about all his business activities, and I admire that.
And you may have alluded to the answer to this one a little while ago, but what is your favourite thing to do in the world when you're not in the office?
Hanging out with my kids. Obviously, that's not a thing. I'm going to say reading. I'm an unashamed nerd. I'm going to go with reading.
What is your favourite business book that you've ever read and why?
I don't want to tell everyone because then they'll know all my secrets. If any of what I've said has resonated with you, you need to read a book called Utility by Jay Bayer. It deals with the things that we've been talking about, how to conduct business in this, the whole new world with Facebook and digital disruption, and look, it's about being helpful.
I mean, Jay was the inspiration behind why I started this podcast, really, Sarah, and why I started my business, and has been a great friend, and he's a super nice guy, and I encourage everyone to check out Utility and get yourself a copy if you haven't already. Sarah, what is your favourite technology resource you use daily to help you run a better business?
Look, I'm going to go with my iPhone, and it's not to plug Apple, but with the multiple skills and the multiple roles and the multiple functions that I have to execute in my business with my team and the other firm that I run, which is 3 children, it is impossible for me to do that without relying on my iPhone.
It's often said, Sarah, that the success of a real estate business is measured by how many properties they sell or how many properties they manage. If you had to choose one thing, just one, that prevents people in real estate from achieving success, however they measure success, what would it be, and what would your advice be to overcome it?
From what I've seen, observing both our teams, I would say being eclectic about what your job is. And that means picking out a bit that you like and doing that, and ignoring the rest of it. So with a sales agent, that's I like listing and selling, and being eclectic with that part of the process and ignoring marketing and nurturing leads, and converting leads to prospects. That's hard graft anyway, but if you're eclectic about which part of the process you favour, then you're not going to be faithful to the entire process. And I think people fail when they lose that fidelity to a whole process.
And how do you think people can overcome that?
You map the process, and this is what I've done from day one in our business. You work out where your workflows start and where they finish, and you make sure that you start them and you finish them and you hit every point in between. And that way there's no gaps, there's no, you know, in property management, there's no crisis going to happen because that point's covered. And in sales, it's the same thing. You map that process from capturing the lead, marketing to generate a lead, to nurturing that lead, to converting that lead, right through to settlement and handing over keys and making that an experience and then recycling them back into your database somewhere. If you map that process and you're faithful to that process, then you can't not be successful.
Listeners, you can find the links to all of those great resources along with all of today's show notes on steps.com.au/Sarah Bell. And with that, Sarah, I have one last question for you to leave our listeners with some motivation for the week ahead. What is your favourite success quote and why?
I'm about to really show myself up for what a nerd I am. I have this quote tattooed on my back. Tattoo, no one call my dad. But the quote that I like is by Albert Camus, and he wrote a book about the Greek myth of Sisyphus. And Sisyphus, for those of you up to date with your Greek mythology, was very proud, and he was prone to bragging like some real estate agents. And he was cursed by the Greek god Atlas, who carries the world on his shoulders and is very strong. He was cursed by Atlas to push a rock up a hill for eternity. And when Albert Camus interpreted this myth, he decided that it's doing the hard graft and pushing the rock up the hill that is the point. And if you're not happy while you're doing that, you're not doing it right. So the actual quote is, it's the quest for the summit that fills the heart of a man. We must imagine Sisyphus was happy.
Wow. I think it's pretty powerful. I think our listeners are really going to resonate with everything you've had to say today, Sarah. And on behalf of everyone, I'd like to thank you for your time, your knowledge and your advice today. How can people get in touch with you or find out a little bit more about Bradbell Real Estate?
Yeah, sure. If you want to get in touch with me, I've got a profile on LinkedIn. You can email me directly and connect there. Bradbell Real Estate has a Facebook page. Everyone's on Facebook. Or you can go into our website, www.bradbell.com.au, and just click through to contact me personally. I'm here to help.
Well, that's it for this week. Thank you so much for joining me for the first ever episode of the Real Estate Pros Podcast. I hope you enjoyed this week's show. If you're new to podcasts, jump onto the App Store and download the podcast app. Subscribe to the Real Estate Pros Podcast and you'll be able to listen on the go. If you love the show, please leave us a review on iTunes, and you can also subscribe to be the first to receive every episode straight to your email inbox, along with other helpful articles as we publish them each week. And whether it's good or bad, I'd love to get your feedback on how we can improve, because at the end of the day, this show was all started to help you, the real estate pro. I hope you have a great week ahead, and I look forward to seeing you next week for show number 2. Bye for now.